Lamentations 3. Did I speak on the Sunday I was here? Does anybody remember? One word. Vengeance. Very good. All right. Vengeance. Well, tonight I'm going to speak on mercy, because I always have a balanced ministry. You understand? So I'm going to just read you a verse or two, and then, God willing, I'll bring other verses to your attention. There are so many, but I want to simply talk to you a little bit about mercy. So in Lamentations 3, verse 21, by the way, it may be translated, I'll tell you more about this a little later, it may be translated by a different word in the newer versions, but it's mercy, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. One of the loveliest portions in the Word. It is of the Lord's loving kindnesses that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's one reference I want you to read. And then let's look at Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 13. A Pharisee and a publican are in the temple praying. You know, the Pharisees boasting, bragging about his goodness. And this is what it says in verse 13. But the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, singing, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And one other reference in 2 Corinthians 1, and then I'll start telling you about mercy. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. Three scriptures, and all of them, contain the word mercies. Now, if you have a later translation, you may have found, instead of mercy, the word loving kindness. But what you will find is this, that whereas at times the word mercy is translated loving kindness, even that word that they translate loving kindness on occasion is translated mercy. And because of that, I will tell you the three basic words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that are translated variously mercy. We'll see if George can remember by the sound these Hebrew words. You know one of them. You remember in Hosea about Ruhamah and Lo Ruhamah? Do you remember that? Well, the word Raham means Hakat what? That's right, mercy. That's it, mercy. And when it says Ruhamah, that means you have obtained mercy, and lo ruhama, that means you have not obtained mercy. So we have the word mercy there, that means the love. There is another word, chesed, which is translated mercy, but at times it's translated godly, pious, and then another word you would never realize that is mercy, but it's translated that so often you've heard of the mercy seat, and yet the word mercy isn't associated with the word at all. It's the word kafar. You've heard of Yom Kippur, the word kaporeth. The mercy seat is the other word that is translated mercy. So these are the Old Testament words. It means, all of them, basically, it means tenderness, compassion, love, pity. It is this feeling in the heart of God that is bestowed upon man when we cry out to him for mercy. And all of these words are translated at one time or another, mercy. Now, in the New Testament, what is similar is this. The word kafir, that is translated elsewhere, atonement, I have to give you these technical things at first, is similar to that word that's so different in Luke 18. When that sinner smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the word mercy isn't there at all. It's the word helaskamai, which has to do with the atonement. They are similar that way. The Day of Atonement, kafir, the cover to atone. I'll tell you about that a little later. And then we have the word eleo, which means mercy. And we have the word oiktirmos, which is translated mercy. But again, these words mean tenderness, compassion, pity. So, even though they give them different translations at times, you get the basic meaning of the word when you think of God looking upon man in his suffering, in his need, and God manifesting pity and tenderness and kindness and love. Now, if I asked you to tell me how Paul says we are saved in Ephesians 2, what would you tell me? How are we saved? Well, by grace are you saved through faith, right? Well, what if I told you Paul also said you were saved by mercy? Would you believe that? Where would you find that? What? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. That would be found in Titus 3:5. All right. And I'm going to give you another verse to show you how important it is. Surely goodness and what shall follow me how long? The days of my life. Then, when you are a sinner, the first thing that God exercises to save your soul is what? God be merciful to me, a sinner. So from the first day of your life with God until all the days of my life, you're going to need mercy. Because the portion in Lamentation doesn't have to do with sinners being saved. It has to do with God's children needing mercy. And that's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4. Can any brother think of a verse that I'm calling to mind in Hebrews 4 that says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the what? Throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, is that mercy for salvation? Of course not. So, when you came to God as a sinner the first time, what word did you have to cry out for? Mercy. And throughout your life, what will you constantly be calling into the ear of God? Mercy. And what is so beautiful in the scripture is that it says, in contrast to Satan, of whom it says, Satan is the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's the father of it. But in 2 Corinthians it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That is what is so beautiful. Well, if he is the Father of mercy, where did it originate? With him. And that is one of his attributes. If you wanted to find out what God was, if you went and said to God, I want you to describe yourself to me, one of the words that he would use for sure, and I will let you see that, is in Exodus 34. Turn there. I want you to see this because it's so important. Because when Moses says to God, I want to know about you. I want to see your glory. I want you to reveal yourself to me. He asks this. He says, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And you remember how God hides him in the rock and he turns his back and he overshadows him. And so this is what it says. Verse 5 in chapter 34 of Exodus. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Keeping loving kindness. Hear those words again. Mercy, loving kindness. So when Moses said, I want to know about you, understand that this is God's giving a description of himself. And listen to them. He said, I am the Lord, the Eternal One. He said, I am a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands. This is the description that God gives of himself. So, this mercy that was necessary for God to save us is essential for God to maintain us. One thing that at times is so humorous when you think of these people who, having been saved by the Spirit and by God's mercy, think that now they are above needing any mercy from God. But David said, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And at the same time, God being the Father of mercies, he is the one that is going to bestow them. And it says we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And so I needed it the first time as a sinner I went to God. And now I need it as God's child because of the different circumstances of life that are going to come into my experience. I need the mercy of God. Let me give you this simple distinction. We're saved by grace. We're saved by mercy. Usually, mercy is an act on the part of God that withholds what judgment we deserve. Whereas grace is an act on the part of God that he bestows favor that we do not deserve. So if you look at them that way, one of them is negative in holding back judgment that we deserve, and the other is positive, bestowing upon us favor, kindness, mercy, goodness that we do not deserve. But God puts them together in the epistles again and again. When Paul writes to the churches, he says, grace, mercy, peace, over and over again. Grace, mercy, and peace. So here we are as Christians, and these are the three basic words in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we need them all. You can understand about pity, compassion, tenderness, when you cry to God in that way. The only one that you might need a little help with is the word, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I told you it had nothing to do with the word mercy. But the word atonement, and I'll show you this, turn to Genesis to show you what this word that is basic, that is a cry for mercy, what it's supposed to do. And you can see it in the case of Jacob. Jacob is scared to death because he's going to meet Esau, from whom he stole the blessing, and he's trying to figure out a way, the crooked one that he is, to escape judgment. And so this is what he says in verse 20. Genesis 32:20. This is what Jacob says he will say moreover. Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept me. That is the word mercy seat. And that is the word God be merciful to me in the New Testament. The word I will appease him. So here is Esau that is angry, and Esau had already said in his heart, he said, my father is going to die before long, and when he does, I'll get rid of my brother Jacob. And so no wonder Jacob is frightened. And so here is Jacob thinking of a way to mitigate, to negate all of this wrath that is in the heart of his brother Esau. And so he said, I will appease him with a present. All right. So the word mercy, the mercy seat, is nothing but this. I told you that the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant is simply a box that you put things in. It means to gather, and you gather things and put them in a box. And the mercy seat is a lid that you put on top of that box. But when that mercy seat is sprinkled with one drop of blood by the high priest, what does it become? A mercy seat. You understand? Now, the only help you will need is this. Do you mean that God is angry and he hates man, that there's no mercy in him? No. When God described himself, he described himself as what? Merciful. But there has to be a way that God can justly, can righteously release this mercy to sinful men. And when God sees that drop of blood on the covering, it becomes a mercy seat. Just as when Jacob said, when he sees this present I'm sending, then his attitude toward me will change. Well, what happens is this, that when God sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus, the heart that is filled with mercy and tenderness and compassion is enabled to bestow that mercy upon sinful men. Because God knows nothing about unjustly bestowing mercy upon men. People constantly are saying, well, God can be merciful, God can bestow mercy. Unless there is a righteous basis, there can be no bestowing of mercy. So that is why when he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner, it's the word that is used, I told you one week, I believe, that in Hebrews 9, it speaks of the mercy seat, and then in Romans chapter 3, it says concerning Christ, whom God set forth a propitiation. And the word propitiation is mercy seat. So the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior that died on the cross, is that mercy seat. And the blood of Christ enables God, who is merciful, he's the Father of mercies, it enables the Father to bestow that mercy upon sinners. So constantly throughout the Old Testament, mercy seat, you find this word occurring. And then you find other occurrences. The words are rachem, which means love, tenderness, pity, and also the other word chesed, which means God's inclination toward us with kindness. But all of them are God's tender kindnesses, his pity, his compassion bestowed upon us. And what is so beautiful is this, that Lamentation says that it is because of God's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But I want to show you a little bit. Turn, if you would, to Nehemiah 9. I want you to see one who understands about the mercies of God. And so it's essential for us to look at this. Nehemiah chapter 9. You'll find in Psalm 78, Nehemiah 9, other portions reviewing God's dealings with the children of Israel. So, having spoken of God's great goodness in verse 25, let's look at 27 now. 9:27 of Nehemiah. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their adversaries, when they sinned, who distressed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, you heard from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their adversaries. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee, And look at the last of verse 28. Many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and you testified against them. Now, verse 31. Nevertheless, in thy manifold mercies, thou didst not make a full end of them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now, look at this. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keepest covenant and loving kindness, O mercy, let not all the travail seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is come upon us, for thou hast dealt truly, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies, wherewith thou didst testify against them. You see his understanding of it? And that is why he calls out for mercy and speaks of the mercy of God. It says in verse 33, thou art just in all that is come upon us. So often men say, why this? You'll find that Nehemiah and those who have exercised hearts understand why judgments come. And they understand when judgments are withheld or when there is restoration of soul, it is the mercy of God. Now, I will tell you a little bit about the mercies that we need as God's children in the New Testament, as well as in the Old, because the one that we're most familiar with, I will give you the best example of it, and that's found in Psalm 51. Turn there, and we'll see, because this is the one that we're most familiar with, but it shouldn't be, but alas, it is. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Now, why is David crying out for mercy? What happened to him? He's in. You understand? And so he doesn't go to God, and he says, deal with me righteously, but he casts himself upon God's mercy. He wants God to withhold the judgment that should righteously fall upon you. So if you have sinned against God, the consolation is this. The same man who said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. The man who said that is the one who said, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that is why we need this mercy. That is why we should appreciate more and more what we read in Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What would have happened to David had God not been merciful? He would have been consumed. And it says, it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. It says, because thy compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, what happens so often is this, that God withholds judgments from us, and we're not even aware of it. It is like poor Nabal when David was about to send his men in and destroy every living descendant of Nabal and all associated with him. And Nabal was oblivious to it, but Abigail interceded for him. And many times we sin, and the mercy of God withholds judgments that we do not understand are about to fall on us. That is one thing. So when we sin, understand that God, in his mercy, is ready to restore our soul. Remember who said, the same man who said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The same one said, the Lord is my shepherd. So he's one who is one of God's sheep. And then it says, he restoreth my soul. So the reason that we have to come boldly to the throne of grace is that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's one that we understand about. I will tell you another. You will find it in Amos chapter 7. The judgment of God is going to fall. Locusts are descending upon all the life food of Israel. And when Amos sees it, he cries out, "Oh God," he says, "have mercy upon them. Israel is so small." And God said, "I repented. I'm going to stop these locusts from devouring everything." Do you understand? At times, we pray for mercy for ourselves. At times, we see the judgment of God ready to fall upon others, and we cry to God for that. So, what is the mercy? It's when physical things could happen to us, but we cry to God, and God in His mercy withholds these judgments that are going to fall upon us. I want you to see this also. Turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Look at verse 6. Two things David prays for. "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy loving kindness. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." So here again, one who has done something wrong, and he says, "Oh God, do not think back on the past, the things that you have overlooked. Do not remember the sins of my youth." And let me show you another one. Turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians. Because here again is God in His goodness looking after the things that come into our lives. Look at verse 25. 2:25 of Philippians. "But I counted it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, since he longed after you all and was sore troubled because ye had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow." So here, our dear friend in your life, here is a man who becomes sick, who became sick, hazarding his life for the work of God, and God, in His mercy, preserved him. He was nigh unto death, but God had mercy upon him. But at the same time, Paul was so indebted and had such a bond with this man, he said, "God, you had not only mercy upon him, but you had mercy upon me also." So, this is why we need to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy for others, mercy for ourselves, and mercy for the situations that exist. And also we can pray for mercy as for the judgment of God that should fall upon our nation. Let us pray that God, who is a God of mercy, shall manifest that mercy towards us. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that you have told us what you are. You are God, merciful, abundant in loving kindness, slow to anger. Our Father, all of these things are true concerning you. And we look over our lives since we've been saved. Oh God, many a time we see that you could have destroyed us because of our perversity, our stubbornness. If we had done this thing once and had never done it again. But our Father, we have heard Nehemiah confess your dealings with the children of Israel. And our God, we know your dealings with us. So we are thankful that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we are thankful that you've shown us that through these mercies, Father, the comfort that you've given to one like Epaphroditus and Paul, through these comforts and mercies, our God, we should manifest them unto others. So let us cast ourselves upon thee. We are thankful, Father, for the words, grace, mercy, peace. Our Father, we plead nothing but the merits of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We are thankful for the mercy seat. We are thankful that it's a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And we are thankful that now you invite us to come there. And you will be merciful unto us. Now, Father, we thank you for what you are. We thank you for your mercy that saved us. And we thank you for your mercy that shall follow us all the days of our life. Our Father, great is our God and merciful, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What psalm has more than any other, his mercy endureth forever? Have you ever heard that phrase before? Try 136. 136, I just want you to see this. You see, the word chesed, so often instead of mercy, is translated loving kindness, but I told you, tenderness, compassion, pity. So, just let's see if we can find the word mercy in Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. And if you want to know about the word mercy, go through 26 verses, because it says his mercy endureth forever. He's the Father of mercies, and that mercy is going to endure forever.